Okay, all done. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, we're doing Surah An-Nisa. I'm just going to very quickly go over the sections. We've got 176 ayat. It's a Madani surah. You've got a lot of social ethics in it. You've got legal. You've got legislative issues. But it's all weaved in with the one sickness that every society has when it's broken, which is hypocrisy. So when people don't know where they, when I say don't know, they know where they are. But Jitna Gujarati ma we say one leg in the milk and one leg in yogurt. So then, you know, they want both sides. They want their cake and they want to eat it. That's the English way of saying it. So they want their cake and they want to eat it. So this is a major problem. And you find that is what was difficult to combat. And you find Nisa sort of going through a lot of things in there. So revealed after Uhud. Muslim society is left with a fractured community. So there's many widows, there's many orphans. People don't like taking care of others. So this surah is actually focusing on repairing this society. And it gives you social ethics, it gives you legal ethics, and then in between it's got little bits and pieces. And you'll see what happens is subjects come back again and again and again. And then there's something else. But literally it's all about trying to repair a society. So we have seven sections. We looked at the first section, which was 1 to 33. And that looked at family law, the guardianship of orphans. It started off with that. Women, mahar, inheritance. You had tawbah. You had indecent behavior, how to deal with it. The second section we looked at was like what causes the breakdown of a society. And if we looked there, we had literally arrogance, belittling others, and stingy, hiding wealth. That sort of showed you the breakdown part of that section. Section 3 was, when we looked at that, was distortion of divine words. Again, you know, like Ashabu Sabt, mentioned Ashabu Sabt. They tried to fool themselves. They were told no fishing on a Saturday, so they built a dam. And then we also looked at Sami'na wa Asaina. We hear and we disobey. So you know that bit. Section 4 we looked at was basically the order to obey Allah and His Messenger. So we found Abu Lababa, you know, how he tied himself up. We saw the certainty of death in there. We also saw pondering over the Quran. So the importance of salam, how it brings people together. You found that irrigation thing I talked about, where they disobeyed the Prophet. Just about irrigation, we talked about that farm. The advantages of the following the Prophet, these are all in there. So that literally was section 4. We started section 5, which was with Ayah 92. Now, this was maintaining justice. So we found that if you killed somebody in friendly fire or you killed somebody anywhere, you had how the freeing of a slave, the blood money, even if they forgave you, you still had to free a slave. So there were these laws that came in about you know, killing people or what I call the penal code. We also found in Ayah 94, there's no prejudging. You cannot judge someone. It's not up to you to judge. There's one judge, position taken, up to him, right? And then I think we came across in Ayah 101, the Salatul Qasr, or when you shorten your salah. So now we're going to start with Ayah 102, and I'm hoping we can finish it today. So in 102, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So when you are amongst them, that means when you are in a battlefield position, you have to pray. فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. You will pray, right? So when you, a prophet, are amongst the Muslims, basically that's what it's trying to say, you will still pray. Now look what happens. When we've come to that side, فَلْتَقُمْ تَعِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعْكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتُمْ فَهِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِّنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَعْتِ تَعِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُسَلُّوا. So let me just explain this very much. This is talking about Salatul Khawf. So you're scared, you're in the middle of a battlefield, and the classical example is the day of Ashura. You find they prayed Salatul Khawf. So when one section is doing sajda, one lot protects them with their arms. And then they go at the back, and then this lot protect them, and then they do their sajda. But basically what this ayah, I'm not going to go through the whole ayah, you can read it if you want, but basically what it is trying to say, that even in a state of war, even in the middle of war, you will pray Salatul Jama'ah as a group, and you will pray Salatul Khawf, because it is really important. It's trying to stress the Salah, the importance of Salah. But if you look at it, and I'll go over some of the ayahs here, he says, when he says, if they see that you are a little bit, well, if you look at what the الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَسْلَحَتِكُمْ وَمْتَعْتِكُمْ, if they see you that you're slightly oblivious of your weapons and of what you have, if they see a little bit of weakness in you, they will push, they will assault you. So you've got to be very careful. Then he says, وَلَا جُنَاهَا عَلَيْكُمْ, there's no blame on you. إِنْ كَانَ بِكُمْ أَذَنْ, if you are suffering, that if you're ill or suffering, مِنْ مَطَرْ, or it's raining, أَوْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى, or you've got a sickness, أَنْ تَضَعُوا أَسْلِحَتَكُمْ, that you set aside your weapons, but make sure, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, that you are always have your precautions there. Never let your guard down. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا, and Allah will prepare a painful punishment for them. So basically, in this ayah, I will write Salatul Khawf. And to me, the day of Ashura sort of literally explains it. You know, we had the companions who were standing in front of Imam while he was praying. Remember Abu Thamama, when he raises his hands, when he says it's time for Salah, he looks at the sky and Imam raises his hands and says, may Allah make you of the Musallin. Even at this time, you are remembering the time of Salah. This is the time of Zuhr. And we found how so many companions were killed because they were actually looking after the imam wanting to pray. So that connection to Allah is phenomenal in this ayah. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. So ayah 103. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ السَّلَاةِ, when you have finished the salah, whether it is salatul khawf or any other salah at all, he says, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ, even at times when you are not in battle, you finished your salah. When you finish it, then you have to remember Allah standing, sitting and reclining. I mean, part of this is taqibat. Part of this is not saying, I've prayed, therefore bas khalas now. I don't have to remember Allah. That's done. Now next time, next salah time comes and I will remember Him. So he's trying to say, just continue. In another tafsir it says, it's telling you, even in a state of peace, pray off on time. It's saying, what excuse do you have not to pray? If in a state of war you have to pray, then in a state of peace, what excuse do you have? So, remember him. فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. So when you are secure from danger, pray. Surely it is something that. Now, if you look at كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, waqt, you know, is time. That time is so important for you. You look at Salah of Imam Hussein. Asr, I mean, he's covered in wounds. Yet there is Salah at time of Asr. Right? So for us, this is a phenomenal ayah. Okay, then he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. Now, back to the battle again. Don't be weak-hearted when it comes to the enemy. Because you see, what happens, what it's trying to say is, ابتغاء, don't get worried if this battle is going on and on and on and on. Because this confrontation they had with the Makkans wasn't stopping. And when something gets too much, you get really tired. Even in life, when you're struggling with something, when it pulls on a lot, just exhaustion. There's absolute exhaustion. So he said, إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you are hurting, then no, they are hurting as well. They are suffering too. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you hope from Allah, which they don't have. The secret thing you have is that you have hope in Allah. You know that He will sort you out. وَفَوِذُ أَمْرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. They don't have that. And then he says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah knows and Allah is wise. This is probably one of the most phenomenal ayats of the Quran. It's saying, when in life you've got issues that are really, really causing you to struggle, know that you have hope in Him. He will relieve you of that pain. There's no doubt about it. If you can hold on to that, because they don't have that. Okay. Then in أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, we have revealed this book with you to show you the truth, or rather the wisdom or the justice between people. بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ, what Allah has showed you. وَلَا تَكُنْ لِلْكَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا, don't become an advocate for those who are betrayers. Now let's see what happened. So there is a story here. What happened was there was this Muslim who stole an armor. Okay, so he stole an armor. He took that armor and then he threw it in the house of a Jew. And then he says, he took all his friends together and he said, look, that Jewish person is a thief. And then they take this subject to the Prophet. So the first inclination is trying to say that he's a Muslim, so we've got to protect him because he's ours. But Quran is very clear. It says you have been sent down as justice. You have to tell what the truth is. Well, even if it's like, and you'll see it'll come up again and again. So here basically this ayah is about those who pretend or try to put blame on other people as this Muslim did and hoping that his whole gang will be with him. And you'll see what happens as it goes along. Wastaghfirullah, ask forgiveness of Allah. Inna Allah kana ghafurur rahima. Allah is forgiving and merciful. Now, wala tujadil anil ladhina yakhtanuna anfusakum. Don't plead on behalf of those who repeatedly betray. They're repeated offenders. Khawan is somebody who constantly engages in the same thing. Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana khawanan athima. Allah does not like the one who continually repeats what he does again and again and again. So what do they do? He says, yastaghfuna minan nas. You know what ikhfa is? Ikhfa in tajweed is to, like, you know the letter is, but it's hidden. You know it's there, but it's there. So they want to hide themselves from people because now they've been caught out. So this particular person, now the truth has come out. This is what he did. So he wants to hide from people. He's embarrassed to show his face to people. وَلَا يَسْتَغْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. But he's not embarrassed about with Allah. He doesn't want to hide himself from Allah. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ. And he is with them. When يُبَيَّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى. When they are spending the night plotting, right? Jubayyatun, they're spending the night. They are plotting, they are conspiring with something ma la yarda, which Allah is not pleased with. Min al qawl, you know, from what he says. Wa kana Allahu bima ya'maluna muhita. And Allah encompasses everything they do. This ayah is sort of saying, I mean, you don't want to show your face to people, but what are you doing about yourself and Allah? هَأَنْتُمْ هَأُولَاءِ جَادَلْتُمْ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Now these people, you know, this gang of Muslims who were with this guy who had stolen, they were arguing for him, saying he's one of our brothers, we have to support him. Allah is saying, okay, you might be able to argue for him and you might be able to plead for him in the life of the world. فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهِ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who's going to plead for them on the day of Qiyamah? أَمَّنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Or who will be their protector? Who will be their lawyer then? So just come out with the truth as it is. And then, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا, whoever does, and I'll explain this in a minute, whoever does evil, أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ, or has wronged his soul, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ يَجِدَ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمًا, then asks forgiveness of Allah, he will find Allah forgiving and merciful. Now let me explain the difference between سُوء and where you've been wronged yourself. There's a major difference. Su comes from soul. Soul is a rotting corpse. Nobody likes a rotting corpse, whether it's of an animal or it's of a human being. So su is a sin that is inherently ugly. You can't even make it pretty. You just can't make it pretty. However hard you try, you can't make su pretty. Right? I need you to know this difference because it will come in many, many surahs. So nobody can say backbiting is pretty. Nobody. Even though we do it, we will not say it's good. Nobody will say that hurting someone is pretty. Regardless, you will not say it. Nobody will say cheating is pretty. You just won't. That is su. But the other one on the other side, wronging oneself, is temptation. So if I'm tempted to get something materially, or I'm tempted by, I don't know, I'm not sure I see many beautiful men besides my husband, but, you know, say you were sort of a bit tempted and you thought, oh, I remember when I was younger, I used to like this footballer who had curly hair. I can't remember his name. I don't know if any of you can. But he had curly... I can't remember. See, I can't even remember his name. So, you know, you're a bit looking and thinking, oh, yeah, he's quite cute. But anyway, this basically what this is trying to say is that is wronging yourself. And that is different. Allah is making a differentiate here. He's saying something that is inherently ugly is so. But for even both of them, he's phenomenal. He's saying, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. If you cover yourself, it's the cries to cover yourself, you ask for forgiveness, you will find him غَفُورُ رَحِيمًا. For both these sins. So again, it's saying you can't prejudge somebody. Okay, now it says, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. If you do something wrong, then in essence, you've done wrong to yourself and nobody else. You can't say that you haven't hurt anybody. Whatever you're doing, it's even deeds that we do for temptation. You're doing it against yourself. And Allah knows and He's wise. وَمَا يَكْسِبْ كَتِيَةً. If you make a mistake, ithman, or actually commit a sin, ثُمَّ يَرْمِي بِهِ. And then if you commit a sin and you make a mistake, but then you have accused وَيَرْمِي بِهِ بَرِيعًا. You've accused an innocent person of it. فَكَذِ اِحْتَمَلَ بُخْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Then, my goodness, that is like not excusable. You have done something really big, really great. So again, it came back to that story of that Muslim man putting that armor in that Jewish house and saying he stole it. Right? So if you accuse somebody else of something, he's saying, now there you got real issues. And then he says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. If it wasn't Allah's grace on you, وَرَحْمَةً, and His mercy, لَحَمَّتْ تَعِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُذِلُّكَ وَمَا يُذِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Then you will find that a group of them, these ones were a bit dulali, they would be leading you astray. They would have taken you towards them because they're quite convincing. وَمَا يَذُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. But they only mislead themselves. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ. Allah reveals to you the book, the wisdom, وَالْحِكْمَةَ. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And He teaches you what you did not know. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And the fadl, the extra of Allah, is really great. So in other, He's saying, the insight inside you that you have to see wrong comes from divinity. When you are able to see something is right and wrong, that is His grace on you. And had it not been that, you might have been swayed towards them. They might be able to convince you that what they say is right. But they're unable to harm you because you believe. You wouldn't have known yourself unless He would have taught you. So it's that thankfulness that, you know, we've got that belief. Alhamdulillah. Then he says, La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum. Now, oh my goodness. There is not good in najwa. And we've talked about najwa. Najwa in essence is secret meetings, except illa man amara bisadakatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayna nas. The only secret things that are acceptable are if you're having a secret meeting because you want to do some charity or because you want to do something that is right or you're reconciling two people. By extension, that's saying that when you want to do charity, when you want to do something right and you want to reconcile people, then you can have a separate secret meeting. However, وَمَنْ يَفْعَ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Let me finish this. And if you are doing this because you are seeking His pleasure, then فَسَوْفَ نُعْطِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. We will give you a great, absolutely amazing reward. However, he's saying the secret side meetings that you had against the Prophet, they are not good. Because he starts off by saying, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نِجْرَانٍ. That means most of their secret meetings were away from the main meeting. And I talked about this before. You know, you have a main meeting where you let everybody say what they have to say. But they don't speak there. They go in the car park and they have their little choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choos. So he's telling you and me that those particular meetings are not good. The only meetings that are good are this, right? So no secret meetings. Okay, 115. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ. Those who disobey or oppose the Prophet, مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, after the guidance is so clear to you, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّي مَا تَوَلَّى وَنَصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. And then the follow the way, other than that, which you have been told to follow of the believers, we will turn to him that which he has turned himself to, and he will enter Jahannam, and it's awful. So basically saying, if you oppose the messenger after guidance is clear, then you got issues, mate. Okay. 116. Inna Allah la yaghfiru. Allah will not forgive. And yushrika bihi. He will never forgive anyone who puts somebody as a partner to him. Okay. So just make him Allahu Akbar and nobody else. Okay. Wa yaghfir ma duna dhalika. He can forgive whatever besides that there is. Liman tasha. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ذَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. But if you are to do shirk, my goodness, that you just turned away from the wrong path, into the wrong path. So that is why we start Salah with Allahu Akbar. We mention Allah in everything we say because we know He is up there. So he says, إِنْ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِي إِلَّا إِنَاثًا. They don't call anything besides Allah. So look what they do, but females. Inathan is females. وَإِنْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. They're only calling shaitan. So, Lat, for example, you know Lat and Uzza, you know that? Lat is the feminine of Ilah. Uzza is the feminine of Aziz. So basically, they were trying to, how can I put it? They were trying to sexualize everything. Right? And he's saying, what are they doing? They were derogatizing everything in that instance. It was not saying females are derogatory, but it's trying to say that they're just invoking females because all they can see is their desires. That's it. La'na Allah. Allah withdrew His mercy from them. But look what Shaitan says. وَكَالَ لَأَتَّكِذَنَّ مِنْ إِبَادِكَ نَسِيبًا مَفْرُوذًا. I will, through this, take your servants. I will take those who you think are your abd, who are your ibad. I will take them. I guarantee I will take them with me. That's what Shaitan says. So when you are inclined towards that sort of thinking, he says, this is what I'm going to do. They will come with me. وَلَا أُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. And he, this is Shaitan talking. وَلَا أُمَرَنَّهُمْ فَلَا يُبَتِّكُنَّا أذان الأنعام ولا أمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله. Oh my goodness. So he's saying, I will lead them astray. I will give them false hopes. And I will make them do things that, oh my goodness, I will make them do some funky things. I will confuse them completely. They will be cutting off the ears of cattle if I tell them to. What does that mean? That means if I told them that the only way you're going to get this job is if you take this flower, you cut it up into little pieces, and then I've got a flower here, that's why I'm telling you. You cut it up into little pieces, and then you scatter it under the boss's pillows, or I don't know, in his office, everything will be fine. Take this pebble, this is a really sacred pebble, and do it. Kill a cat, you will do it. Oh my God, you saw a cat today, a black cat. Bad luck. Don't go to work today. So what Shaitan is saying is that I will do that. They will be so blinded by their aspirations that I will prompt them, if you look at what he's saying, فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, that I will blind them against, they will change. They will change Allah's creation completely, what Allah has created. Now some ulama say that They will do things to themselves if you told them that make sure you have a tattoo of, I'm not going to give names, but whatever tattoo you have on your hand, and that will give you good luck all your life. They will do that. So he says, that's what I'm going to do. I will make them do stupid superstition practices for good luck. I will make them make religions up. وَمَنْ يَتَّخِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and whoever takes shaitan as a guardian, وَلِيًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, as a protective guardian apart from Allah, فَقَدْ خُزِلَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا, then he's definitely in a total loss. So when we find ourselves doing things that are weird, really weird, that don't make sense at all. And sometimes we give them the garb of religion. That's what he's saying here. We say this is what religion tells us to do because we've seen it. I'm not even going to mention stuff because it's only going to upset people. This is what it's saying. This ayah is actually, it teaches us so much. And I think this is one of the ayah that one of the alims wrote on there, but I don't think anybody heard it. Okay, sorry, I got a bit lost here. So he makes some promises. يَعِذُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ He'll make him promises. He gives them false hopes. وَمَا يَعِذُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا But all he is doing is giving them delusion. Okay, so he's deluding, taking us away from something that doesn't even work. Okay. Ayah 121. Shaitan's not very cute. Ulaika ma'wahum jahannam. Their residence is jahannam. Okay? Full stop. Wala yajiduna anha mahisa. And there is no refuge from it. It's like clear statement here. Now he says, Walladina amun. I love it because it's positivity always. Those who believe. Wa amilu salihat. And who reflect their belief in good deeds. سَنُدْخِلَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ We will make them enter gardens beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا They will live there forever. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَكَّمْ That is his promise. It's a true promise. وَمَنْ أَسْتَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ كِيلًا And I mean, who is more truthful than Allah in this statement? Yes, it's amazing. Okay. All right. Now, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَ أَحْلِ الْكِتَابِ So let's try and work out what this is trying to say. It will neither be of your hopes, as in your wishes, nor the wishes. So wishful thinkers this is talking about. Or the wishful thinking of the Ahlul Kitab. مَنْ يَأْمَلْ سُوءٍ That you will do evil. And then يُجْزَى بِهِ وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَسِيرًا If you do evil, then you will not find a helper or guardian in Allah. Reality in life is not based on wishful thinking. There has to be reality. You have to do something about it. Done something wrong, he says, it's very easy. Ask for forgiveness. Correct yourself. But don't wishfully think, you know what, it's all going to be okay. It'll just be okay. I think we were doing Muddathir with the children in the morning. And one of them brought this up quite beautifully. He said, so just going to mosque is not enough, is it? And it was beautiful. And I think the best statement of the day was when this little kid, I absolutely adore him, when he said, do you think we'll be praying namaz in Jannah? I just couldn't get over it. It was beautiful. That's basically saying reality is loving that connection to Allah. Okay. All right. وَمَنْ يَأْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ Sorry, I deviated a bit. And whoever does righteous, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى Whether it's a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ And they are believers. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ It's such a positive statement. You will definitely enter Jannah. وَلَا يُذْلَمُونَ النَّكِيرَ And you know Nakira, I told you, the dent in the date seed. You remember that? And Fatila, you mean the fiber in the date seed. So he's saying, whatever you do of a good deed, my goodness, you will enter gardens. All you and I need to do is وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ Continue doing good. It will reflect. Tell me, what else does it say here? I mean, if anybody is debating with me, look at Ayah 124. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ Whoever does good. Salihat means that which reconciles people, which puts people together. If somebody is broken and you put that broken bit together, that's salihat. That's basically what salihat means. Amalu salihat is not just good deeds. Suleh is to put things together. You put somebody's hopes together. You know, so much. It doesn't give any, it's such a statement here. Whether you're male or female makes no difference. You've given somebody hope. You've put somebody's heart together. My goodness, you are definitely going to enter Jannah. And he says, you know, don't forget 4124. You can't forget 4124. It's an easy number to remember, right? Look at your pin. Okay, don't, because I know it now. But 4124 is a good pin to have. Now you know mine. So it's a good pin to have because it tells you all you need to do is continually do good. That's it. And then it says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ دِينًا Who has a better religion? مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ Than he who submits himself entirely to Allah. Wajhillah, and I'll explain it in a minute. Wa huwa muhsinan, and he does ihsan. Ihsan, and I repeat again, I think Shaykh Mutahhari puts it in his book, when he says, if you have 2 pounds and your neighbor has none, if you gave them one, that is your responsibility. If you gave them both, it is ihsan. So if you submitted yourself totally to Allah, which means, some maraji say, or some not maraji, mufassirin say, that this says, when you submit yourself, when you do sajda, wajh is your face, no? So when it's put to the ground, you're submitting to Allah, and you do ihsan, wattaba'a millata Ibrahima, and you are a doer of, and you follow the faith of Ibrahim, who was upright, wattakhadha Allahu Ibrahima khalila, Allah took Ibrahim as a friend, then Allah will become your friend. This is basically what he's trying to say. So if I want Allah as my friend, lots of sajdas, and muhsin, just give out of what you have. And then he says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and to Allah belongs everything that is in the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا, and Allah has a 360 view of everything. And you can see everything, inside, outside, upside, downside, everywhere. Okay, now it goes back to women. You can see this surah, that's why it's called women, right? So, وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. You all know fatwa, no? This is fatwa. They ask you about fatwa, about nisa, about women. قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنَّ. Allah has made known to His decision concerning them. وَمَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ فِي يَتَامَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِ لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ وَتَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنْكِهُوهُنَّ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ وَأَن تَقُومُوا لِلْيَتَامَى بِالْقِسْطِ. And I'll explain this in a minute. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِهِ عَلِيمًا. So he tells you, he's made you known what you're going to do about women. But he's highlighting girl orphans. Remember, we talked about them when we went to the ayah of marrying 2, 3, or 4. That was protection of orphans. So he's coming back to that again. He said, we've told you what to do about them. Protect them. And if the only way of protecting them is to marry them, then marry them. And also look after those who are weak amongst those children, those who are very little, who don't have any parents, those who are orphans. And whenever you deal with orphans, deal with them with qist. And I'll explain qist in a minute. And whatever good you do, Allah knows him. So basically what it's trying to say is, stand firm in justice for orphans. When you deal with them with a lot of precaution, extra carefully. So, because Allah knows what sort of treatment you're giving, whether you're giving it outside or inside, He knows exactly what you're doing. Qist is a form of justice, which is a justice to get away from injustice. And I have to explain this, okay? So, adala, the best way to explain adala is making sure what you have is put in the right place. If I put my shoe on my head, that is not adala. The adal is to put my shoe on my feet. Qist, in fact, qasid is to be unfair. But qist is to run away from unfairness. So try really hard not to be unjust. It's not just talking about being fair. It's talking about try really hard not to be unfair. Okay. Okay, now, remember we read the ayah in the first section about 434, and we talked about, and then after that there were the three stages of when women become nushuz, when women become a bit crazy, right? So then you had to, first of all, counsel them, then separate their beds, you remember that? Now here we come to the men. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةُ, and if there is a woman, خَافَتْ, she's scared, مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا, that our man has gone crazy. He's got menopause, okay? Sorry, they don't go crazy, but anyway. Whatever happens, he's gone, I mean, he's just becoming difficult to live with. Awi aradhan, or he's ignoring her. He's actually sidelighting her. Fala junaha alayhima an yusliha baynahuma. So the first thing, obviously, is that they try a reconciliation. Everybody does that. I keep on saying that when people are you know, they always blame it on the woman, and they say she's the one who broke this house. Nobody breaks houses unless it's really, really difficult. Nobody does that. Nobody wants to leave an environment where they are secure, they've got a family, unless it's really difficult. So this ayah is really important to understand. He says, first, reconciliation. She's got to try. And reconciliation is better because it is sulhan wa sulhu khair, and sulh is khair. But look what he says. Wa ukhdiratil anfusu shuhha. However, let me first explain shuha. Shuha is greed, and if I can say there's a conditions, always these conditions placed on it. If they decide to separate, then they now want to divorce, so they want to separate, then you have to understand that shuha is not good, because the anfus, the human souls, compels them to greed. Like each side thinks, how much more can I get from the other side? This is what it's saying here. وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. So here he's saying, if you do end separating, then don't let your greed take over, because remember, you have to be God conscious, and you have to do ihsan to each other. I think I remember many, many years ago watching two people who were divorcing, and I thought that was the best divorce I've seen in my life. So both of them first went to each family member of both sides to explain that they had no animosity between them, but they were divorcing for whatever reasons they had. Then I remember sitting when both of them were talking, and I can still see them, because what they were actually arguing, you take this, and the other one said, you take this. And this one said, you take this, and the other one said, and I said, no, you take it. And it was amazing to watch them. They were trying to force each other to take things from each other. I've never seen this, and it was phenomenal. And it made you understand what Ayah 128 is about. So let me go again. If a woman fears cruelty or desertion, there is no sin if they make terms of between themselves. But if there is aggressive behavior, he ignores her, if it doesn't work, then if you do separate, you have to separate without greed. You have to separate with ihsan. Otherwise, and I'll try and paraphrase this, it means that you don't have taqwa. That's what he's saying. Okay. Ayah 129. Now remember, he told them that you could marry 2, 3, 4, protection of orphans. He comes back again. وَلَن تَسْتَتِيُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ. It makes a statement. You will not be able to do adalat between your wives. It's just not possible. وَلَوْ حَرَسْتُمْ. Even though you really, really are eager to do it. Because you see, what happens is there's two types of justice. One is your time and your finances. You can give her exactly the same money and the same time. But you cannot do justice with your emotions. It's very difficult. But look what he's saying. So in other words, he's saying, you think marrying 4 wives is easy? Let me tell you. فَلَا تَمِيلُ. You cannot incline. كُلَّ الْمَيْلَ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّكَ. You can't incline to one of them and leave the others hanging. You see, مُعَلَّكَ, عَلَك. You remember عَلَك? Hanging on to your womb. You can't let them hang on while you are seeing somebody else. You can't do that. You just can't. وَإِنْ تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. If you reconcile your behaviors and you have taqwa, Allah is forgiving and merciful. You know, it's very easy to say Muslims can have 4 wives. Here it's saying, hello, you have no taqwa if you can't do this. And you can't do it. So basically, this is by extension saying you've got to be superhuman to be able to maintain this sort of behavior. So might as well stick to one. Okay, smile if you want. If you don't smile, okay? 130. وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ. If they separate. I love this one. يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. Allah will make them free from want. Why don't they trust in him? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِئًا حَكِيمًا. He has so much. He is wasi and he's wise. In other words, he's giving hope to those who are divorced. He said, trust in me. I will sort it out for you. Remember Surah Al-Talaq? Oh, I love it. وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجَلَّهُ مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه ان الله بالغ امره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا. Surah number 65, end of ayah 2-3. Those of you who don't know, this is called alchemy. You know the story of Imam Khomeini asking for alchemy from Ayatollah Isfahani, and Ayatollah Isfahani says, you know what, alchemy can turn sand into gold. He says, promise me you will not abuse it. He said, I can't promise that I won't give it out. Because he's a big-hearted man. So he said, okay, I'll teach you something better than alchemy. After every namaz, Ayatul Kursi, the Sifti of Sayyidah Fatima, three times Surah Al-Ikhlas, three times Salawat, and three times the end of Ayah 2 of 65, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, and three. If you go to Few Fatima, we have a whole bookmark on it, and we have a whole section on it. So, you know, just go and pick out that bookmark, print it out, put it in your musalla, and recite it after every salah. I mean, things go amazing. That is Ayah 130. 130, just, you know, Surah Al-Talaq is trying to tell you, Allah has got it. And وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So he's saying, if you didn't think I have enough, let me tell you. For me, for Allah is whatever is in the heavens and the earth. وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, and we, those who were given the book, were told this, we enjoined, what did we enjoin on them? مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ, we enjoined them before you and you, what did we tell them? أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, that you should be God conscious. That's all we told them. Be aware that there is a God. وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا, but if you cover up the truth, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. Even if you don't believe in me, he's saying, even if you don't have taqwa, it's not going to make anything less. I will still own the heavens and the earth. And I am ghani, I am rich, and I am praiseworthy. That arrogance is only allowed for Allah. Okay? And then, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, again, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, he is enough for you as a lawyer. You don't need any other lawyers. You've got him. He's there. He's got your back. Now, how has he got my back? إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, if he wants, all human beings, what he can do is that he can take you away. وَيَأْتِي بِآخَرِينَ, he can bring other people in your place. So in other words, he's saying you're not indispensable. If you put your hand in a bucket of water and you pull it out, you'll make some ripples and then those ripples will die and that's it, you're gone. You're not exactly the most important person in the world. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَا ذَلِكَ كَدِيرًا, he can do it. He has the power to do it. Right, Ayah 134. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا, if you desire the life of this world, or you want the reward of this world, فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, why don't you understand that he is able to give you the reward of the world and the hereafter? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, and he listens and he sees. Let's see what that says. So if I pursue just the worldly life, he's saying, I'll give it to you, but you know what? You just need to make a slight tweak and you can get the akhirah as well. Don't sell yourself short of just of the world and ask only for the dunya. You know, the ulama teach us a lot. When they used to even eat, if you ate an apple, it's mubah. It's mubah, you know, allowable. It's not sawab, or it's not haram or halal, basically. So I'm eating an apple. But if my niyyah is, I'm eating this apple to gain strength, to be able to do some good work, I've changed it. I've added the akhirah to it. Imam Sadiq has a beautiful story about a man whom he asked, who was making a house. And he said, oh man, why are you putting such a big window in? And he said, I'm putting a window in so I can let the light in and, you know, I can open it and get the air in. Imam said, just say light in, but also you'll be able to hear adhan. That you'll be able to see the sun rise and the sun set so you can praise Allah. With slight tweak. And you have changed that, just making that window as part of the akhirah. So everything I do, there is a niyyah that is involved with it, okay? And the hearing and seeing is beautiful. So sami' is he hears your du'as, he hears what you want. Basir is he sees, are you acting according to what you want or you are acting against it or not, okay? So you'll find that in many of the places where you're asking and stuff. Okay, this is the ayah of, oh my goodness. There are two ayahs of justice in the Quran. I think if you go to Q-Bytes, I've done both of them. So you can probably have a look at them. I think one is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, if I'm not mistaken. So I can look it up later. But so justice is of two kinds. Injustice is of two kinds. One injustice is the injustice that I do when I'm favoring me or my own. And sometimes because of that, I do injustice. So I don't know. You could do anything. So I find, you know, whatever. So there's injustice. The other injustice is because I hate someone. Two, right? Ma'idah is hate. This is love. So let's look at it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, or you who believe, kunu qawamina bil qist. Now you've done qist already. Stand firmly to fight injustice as much as possible. Shuhada lillah. And, you know, be witnesses. In other words, bearers of witness of Allah's sake. This is because of Allah. Walau ala anfusikum, even if it's against yourself. Awil walidain wal akrabin, or your parents or your relations. In yakun ghaniyan aw fakiran, even if somebody is rich or poor, doesn't mean if they're celebrities or rich they should get away with murder, and somebody who's poor shouldn't. And we see it in the justice system a lot. Fallahu awla bihima, Allah is near to both of them in compassion. He is near both of them. So you don't say that if, even in small things, if I was giving tabarruk in the mosque, doesn't mean if somebody is more important, I give it to them first. Doesn't work like that. Okay. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ, don't follow your inner desires or your low desires. أَن تَعْدِلُ وَإِنْ تَلْوُ أَوْ تَعْرِضُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. So he's saying, don't follow your desires in case it makes you turn away, become unfair. And if you change this testimony, or you depart away from it, distort the testimony, or disregard it, Allah knows what you have done. So if you're favoring, Allah knows exactly what you're doing. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or you who believe. Aminu billahi wa rasuli. Now here we start the sixth section, which is the section on hypocrisy, the characteristics of hypocrisy. I'm not sure we'll be able to finish it. You might have to have a fifth section. Now, it's quite amazing when you read this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or you who believe. Aminu billahi wa rasuli wal kitab. Really? So you are talking to people who believe, and you're telling them, believe in Allah and the Messenger and the Book. It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, oh, you who are eating, eat. Oh, you who are drinking, drink. Oh, you who are reading, read. And you say, what is wrong with you? I'm already doing what you're saying I'm doing. Right? So the very fact he's saying that is that when he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it's the whole spectrum of believers. Those who profess belief but do not believe. Those who profess belief and believe. And those who are like tube lights. You know what tube lights is? On and off. Right? Do you understand? So now he's saying, if you profess you believe, then believe, no? Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the Book. And this is talking about, it's a direct address to those who have hypocrisy. Alladhina nazzala ala rasuli, which is revealed to His Messenger, wal kitab, and the Book which He has revealed before. Alladhina anzala min kablu, Suratul Baqarah, you know the first ayah. Man yakfur billahi, and whoever covers up the truth in Allah, wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli, and the angels and the Book and the messengers, wal yawm al akhir, and the last day. Fakadalla dhalalan ba'ida, he has strayed off, he has deviated from the path. He's lost. So that is addressing them. Now let's see their characteristics. Number one. Inna alladhina amanu thumma kafaru thumma amanu thumma kafaru thumma zdadu kufran lam yakunillahu liyaghfira lahum wala liyahdiyahum sabila. Those who believe, and then they disbelieve, and then they believe, and then they disbelieve. Then they increase them in their disbelief. Allah will not forgive them, nor will He guide them. First rule, first part of hypocrisy is believe, not believe, believe, not believe. So the moment you believe, it means you knew the truth, because He told you that in Ayah 136. But it didn't serve your purpose, so you disbelieved. So you covered up the truth. And then you went back again, because it had some benefit. And then you went back again, so on and so forth. So that's the first sign of hypocrisy. And always looking at ourselves. Remember the Prophet sitting with his companions, and he said, I'm really worried about you. And they said, why? And he said, because of hypocrisy. And they said, now we pray, we fast, we do everything. He said, because hypocrisy is so subtle, it will enter you like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. Okay, next one. So, bashir al-munafiqeen. Announce to the munafiqs, those who are like that, بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. That will be really painful for them. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَا. Second thing, they will incline towards those who who cover up the truth min dunil mu'minin, apart from the mu'minin. So that's the second sign. They will take guardians. You know, we have this amazing thinking in our heads. We say, we will not buy this from this person because they are a koji, or because they are from the mosques. So we'll buy from outside, but not from inside. We have this mentality in our brains sometimes. Here he's saying, this is second characteristic of a hypocrite. And then he says, فَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْإِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْإِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيلًا. Do they think that they will get izzat if they incline towards those who don't believe, who cover up the truth? When you know that honor only comes from Allah, all honor comes from Allah. وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And He has revealed to you in the book. أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. That which you hear Allah's signs. Now, let's go through this. يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَحَزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. So now He has revealed this book to you. So He's trying to tell you and me that when you hear that people are abusing these words, they are mocking these words, they're denying them, don't sit with them. When they're making fun of the signs of Allah, just don't sit with them. See, he says, وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا. You know, قُعُود is to sit, right? And we read it in Salah all the time. You all know, okay. So don't sit with them. حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Until they change the subject. If they're mocking this, don't do it until they change the subject. إِنَّكُمْ إِذَمْ مِثْلُهُمْ. Otherwise, you will be put together with them. You don't do that. Don't do that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِيُ. The jama'ah of munafiqeen and kafirin who are mocking this, they will be in Jahannam. It's a really powerful ayat. It's a powerful ayah, right? In other words, it's trying to say, if you want to save yourself from hypocrisy, then don't sit with people who are making fun of iman. Don't sit with them. Move away from them. Until they change the subject, don't sit with them. So whether it's talking about backbiting or anything at all, move away. When they come back to the right subject, then talk to them. Now in ayah 141, he says, أَلَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّسُونَ بِكُمْ. My goodness. They are sort of watching and waiting. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. So they're watching and waiting you. If there is a victory to you from Allah, قَالَ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They will say, we are with you. This is your cake and eat it. Okay, this is the ayah of again, cake and eat it. They will say, we are with you. Now let's see what they do. وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَسِيبٌ. If those who covered up the truth gained success, okay, they get nasib. Kalu, alam nastahwid alaykum. Did we not tell you, don't go there? Did we not tell you, move away from them? Did we not say, why did you go and fight, right? وَنَمْنَعْكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Did we not also tell you, why are you going with these mu'mineen? What's wrong with you? فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Don't they understand that Allah will judge them on the day of Qiyamah? وَلَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَلْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. And Allah will never provide those who cover up the truth any means to be above those who believe. So, this is trying to say, again, I don't know how to put this. These are those who, they are with you when you win, but when you are going through difficulties, they abandon you. They say, aye, thank you, goodbye, don't want to know you at all. Okay. Right, next one. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ. That is another, number five. That was number four, this is number five. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Those who are munafiqs. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ. They want to strive, they strive to deceive Allah. I think we read this in Surah Al-Baqarah all the time. So they strive to deceive Allah. But he says, وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. But you know what? Allah will outwit them. In other words, Allah will make sure that He will have the upper hand on them. They want to deceive Him. وَإِذَا قَامُوا, and now it's talking about salah, this is how they pray, that they think they deceive Allah by standing on the musalla. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى السَّلَاةِ, when they stand for salah, قَامُوا كُسَالَ, they stand sort of in laziness. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ, they only pray to be seen by people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, and they don't remember Allah except a little. So it comes back, it's come back to another attribute, which is how they pray salah. مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ, they're neither here nor there. Zabzaba is, you know, I can only say, you know, in the garden you see those little flowers that go round and round with the wind. I don't know what you call them. Kids love them. You know, you make them out of paper clips. I don't know. It's actually something that swings and goes round. But it goes round and then it stops. If there's no wind, it stops. So Allah says, مُذَبْذَبِينَ, they're swinging and it stops. ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَا وَلَا إِلَهَا, they're neither here nor there. وَمَنْ يُذْلِلُ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا, and whoever Allah calls to, you know, to go in a, in to get to go in a path that is in error, you will not find a way for him. So in other words, the sixth thing is, they are neither here nor there. They don't know where to go. It's already 3 o'clock. We're on ayah 143. I don't think I'll be able to finish because we've got to go to 176. I'll stop there and we'll go over the section about hypocrisy and we'll put it in number form. And inshallah, we'll finish it next week. I know it's long, but thank you so much for listening.